Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 28 weeks later, as it's been 28 weeks since we reviewed 28 days later, episode 28. This one is going to come at you from 2007, but we're talking about it right here, right now. And Kofi, what is it about?
Obviously, it follows the events of 28 days later, except it's half a year on. The zombies have started to die of starvation, and NATO have set up in London. We're following, like, two children who were out of England when the rage virus kicked off in the first place. They get reunited with their father, and then they make a stupid decision, go outside of the perimeter, and they end up bringing the virus back.
Little bellends is all I have to say. How does this NATO facility, with the sole purpose of being the only infection-free part of the UK, have no security?
They're the worst.
These kids literally break out by sneaking around and crawling over a bridge.
I could genuinely rant about this film so much.
Go on, let's have a start.
Do it.
Well, okay, I will. Stu has entered the room. I'll start with a positive. Right at the beginning of the film, the kid's banging on the door to be let in, and they all kind of take a minute to consider letting them in or whatever. And I thought, like, that kind of showed the world that they're living in and the type of, like, horrendous choices that you have to make in split seconds, right? And then it kind of ramped that up again where zombies come in, and then his wife goes back to get a child and gets cornered, and again he has to make a choice, and in that split second he chooses to just abandon them. As he's running away, you just see her get mauled, and then the film starts with Dom just running for his life across an open field while the horde just gets bigger and bigger around him and just chasing him down. I thought that was quite like a really good point that the film started on. However, the way this film is filmed with some shaky hand camera, I am pretty lucky I didn't die of epilepsy.
Die of epilepsy?
Yeah, I thought I was just, at any moment, I could have just seizured. Secondly, the stupidity and the plot holes in this film are ridiculous yet again.
Plot hole Johnson.
The main two characters, the two kids, are reunited with their dickhead of a dad. Coincidentally, just happens to have complete access to absolutely everything about that compound.
He's the caretaker, apparently. He's like, all the things that happen, if there's a light bulb that breaks, I come over and fix it.
Yeah, but like, we go from him running across a field letting his wife die to
him knowing everything about the fucking civilization.
Yeah, and he's just got a card that will get him in anywhere, literally anywhere.
Oh,
then you've got them two kids that arrived in this secure zone. They run off to a place they've been told, and it's actually physically fucking labelled very unsafe. So where do you think the fucking idiots go? They follow the death route. You know in Labyrinth where you've got, like, I think you've got the little worm that's like, hello, mate.
Yeah.
And then you got to pick a door. Well, these two doors, I guess it's a bit like Takeshi's Castle. You got a door. One of them's got a big skull on it, and the other one's got rainbows. And these cunty kids run through the fucking one with a skull in it and go to the very unsafe place. Everyone's armed like they're from a fucking Tom Clancy game. Not they've got, like, night vision goggles. They got machine guns. They're armed to the fucking teeth. Yet they find an infected person and bring them into the secure zone and take no precautions whatsoever.
Infected person, of course, being the mother who we thought died at the start of the film.
That was my next point, my friend. How the fuck has she survived? We saw she had no chance out of that room, but she survived somehow. Luckily, she happens to be the carrier of the disease, but shows no symptoms at all, just because of a genetic abnormality. Since she's really special and potentially a cure for this thing, right? What happens? They just strap her to a table and leave her there unguarded. And guess who turns up? The fucking dickhead with full access that can
Yeah.
Oh, this film is ridiculous. I mean, this whole film is so gory, right? There is blood fucking everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
The same rules apply, that one single drop of blood, we know this from Mad-Eye Moody in the first film, can convert you into a zombie.
I hate it so much. We've all just learnt for the last 2 years, sing happy birthday, 20 seconds, it'll get it off your hands. These lot are covered in blood, and they just don't give a fuck.
a third of this film is just Jeremy fucking Renner sniping.
Just Hawkeye, isn't he?
He is just fucking Hawkeye. He just loves being in a perch on a rooftop, doesn't he? And he added nothing, though. Like,
I don't think most of them added much.
Nah, they didn't. There wasn't really any standout character. Like, you kind of think Dawn, okay. To be fair, this set off a good little plot thread where he abandoned his wife. Because it's like, I either run and survive or try and help and we'll both just likely get killed anyway. So he makes the right choice, but then he lies to his kid. So he's kind of living with the shame of, could he have helped her? Should he have helped her? But then, like, when we get the mom, who is miraculously alive, when she comes back in, you're kind of expecting, oh, there's going to be this big plot. The kids are going to think differently about their dad, and the dad's going to try and get back with her, and they're going to try and use her to find the cure. Nah, he just fucking gets converted from giving her a kiss, and then he just fucking thumbs her eyes out.
Yeah, it's a bit mad.
And that's her.
It's pretty much all we see of him as well, isn't it? Like, after that, he, like, runs away, and then you see him in, like, fucking two more scenes.
Why is this... Again, it's just plot convenience.
What a phrase.
That's what it is, because there's fucking the army sending fire bombers, don't they, to bomb the Isle of Dogs. They somehow, even though they've decimated the fucking whole island, there's still about 300 zombies knocking around. But, like, one of them just so happens to be him, and they all, like, leg it into the train station, don't they? They're in the tunnels. And then the kids go down there later to try and get to Wembley, and who do they bump into? Oh, just so happens to be their rage-infected dad. It's just convenience.
It's just shit.
Like, it's shit.
There was nothing about this film. It could have been so brilliant as well, because the first film was so good.
Yeah.
Genuinely, yes. A really, really good film. This is what they followed up with, and I think they totally ruined it.
I think they left it open for a third one as well, didn't they?
Yeah, there was plans of it being like a 28 months later, right. But it just never happened, and it would be interesting, but I don't know where they would take it. I mean, I know at the end it shows the zombies, they've like kind of ran through the Channel Tunnel.
But why wouldn't you have shut that? Like, you've got a zombie outbreak. Why is there still a big tunnel going to another country? This film could have been so good. That's what's frustrating. And why did Hawkeye turn up?
But then the way he dies is ridiculous again. Like, they've already firebombed the fucking city. Then they're like, right, now we're gonna gas the city. And it's ridiculous because you've got, like, this remaining survivors in a car trying to, like, drive around and dodge the gas. Like, the gas has got, like, a conscience and it's, like, trying to chase them. But then he gets fucking knackered because he's pushing the car won't start or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get out. I'm going to push it. And then some KKK looking fuckers in the background just flamethrower.
Yeah, why are they just... I guess they're trying to kill zombies, aren't they? But surely you'd see the guy is pushing a car, which the zombies don't do. Like,
yeah. Could he not turn around and go, I am part of the military. I've got survivors. We're not infected. But yeah, like, overall for me, like, it just felt a bit hollow. It was a good idea to do a sequel to see how the virus has changed and like how the world has changed around them, but the concept just was really dry and uninteresting, a bit generic actually. I mean, even with a good cast, like, I know we've mentioned Jeremy Renner, I mean, we've got Robert Carlyle, one of the kids is Imogen Poots early in her career, we got Big Idris, like, but he just plays a generic fucking army guy, so he like does next to nothing, has no input. So, you know, overall, even with a good cast, I think it needed Danny Boyle back in the director's chair, but he was busy with Cillian Murphy filming Sunshine at this point in time, so we got like a completely different director, and it just fell flat.
Yeah, that's so true. I can't understand, like, what's the name of this director?
Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
He co-wrote it with someone called Rowan Hoffe.
Isn't that how you actually pronounce your name?
Hoffe.
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 Oh my god. Yeah.
You were responsible for this. Hoffy.
Oh, no, mate.
Thanks a lot, Hoffy.
Shit, I'm sorry.
Fuck's sake. Thanks, Hoffy, for 28 Weeks Later. And that was our honest review of 28 Weeks Later. If you'd like us to review 28 Months Later, tough shit, doesn't exist. And it probably never will. But if it does, we'll review it. Other than that, join us next Friday for another episode of Friday Fright Time. Subscribe, the buttons, hit the buttons, just do, you know, the score, just the buttons. Cheers!